Because of the death of an animal, the world went into turmoil. Amen. The news. And you stay with me. I'm going to bring this right to God. And they were upset to the point where some people wanted the man who killed the lion to die. His family. To lose everything they had. Now stay with me. So I started looking at the comments. I started reading the comments of these people. Amen? And they started with this. I don't understand how. And then another person, who could ever do this? I don't understand why somebody wants to do that. It doesn't make any sense to me why somebody wants to go there. Why
anybody would want to do everything, every sentence that they started with, like, I don't understand how. And I said, exactly. They are admitting right there, ignorance to knowing and understanding, amen? But after they said that, they went on with their opinion about something that they admittedly said they knew nothing about. Are you with me? They didn't know about conservation. They don't know about sportsmen. They don't know about poverty. Because people in the third world countries, Greg and I were talking about, they live in dirt floors, grass roots. They live in poverty. They don't have two television sets in their house. They all don't have iPhones and iPads. They live in poverty. So these people don't understand that, and that's fine. They admitted that they don't. But they went off to the anger got so high that they wanted this person dead. They want him dead. Instead of helping him, they went, and I read that, and I said, you know, they don't even understand that sportsmen care more about the animals. But see, now, that's where I'm going to leave that. Here's where I'm going with that. There was other stories about God in the news, and people wrote their comments about God. About who? And here's how it started. I don't know why a God would. How could any God do that? What kind of a God would say that? Well, what kind of a Christian would do that? Well, they admit the first part of their comment admits right there they don't understand. Amen? And after they say they don't understand, they then continue to create their own God in their own image, and their own ideas about what people should do and how people should act. And they don't understand Christians, but after they said they don't understand Christians, they start to condemn us for believing in God. They start to say things about us because we believe in God, yet they admit they don't understand. Do you understand where I'm going now? These people, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let me tell you what I think a Christian is, and you believe me. First of all, a Christian is somebody who gives somebody else love. I don't judge anybody, amen? If my son called me tomorrow and told me he was gay, guess what? I'd love him as much as I love him today, amen? If my son called me tomorrow and said he was in jail because he stole something from somebody, guess what? I would love him, amen? Because he's my son. I tell you every week, it's not on me what you do all week long, amen? You're living your life. We don't judge people here. Amen? Christians don't judge. If you're a Christian and you're judging others, then somebody needs to pull you over and say, hey, you need to stop doing that. Don't judge lest you be judged. Amen? We talk about acceptance. We talk about being accepted and accepting others. Amen? We are not going to change our values. Are you with me? We're not going to change what this Word of God says. We're not going to compromise our values. But if they took the time to see the difference in what unbelievers think a Christian is and what believers are, they would see a whole new world ahead of them, amen? They would have to, first of all, here's the part, they would have to admit they were wrong, amen? And that's the hardest thing to admit. Has anybody ever been wrong before? More times than I can tell you. And God has a funny way of bringing me back every now and then. Maybe it's not God. But I don't know about you, Joe, or somebody. I'll think of something I did 30 years ago and say, man, and then God will just say, why are you showing me that again, you know? We all, what's that show, baggage? We all have baggage, amen? I did things 40 years ago. I don't want anybody to know about, amen? We're going to get into that. And if there's anybody here that's perfect, well, then you need to be up here, and I'll go out and sit out there because I need to learn more. But I love God. I love God because he showed me a new way. Amen. I love God because he's bringing me to new places in my life. He's getting me stronger in places that 30 years ago I never thought I could do. He's shown me things and lifted me higher than any place I ever thought I could be. Amen. And Deacon Gary will understand this. The responsibility he gave me sometimes gets really just, I have to pray harder and say, Lord, it's Wednesday, it's Thursday. Lord, I got to feed the people. I got to tell them your word. But I love it. Amen. I love it because I love him. And I love talking about him because one word that I could say could change your life forever. One word that I can say could draw you closer to him. One word that I can say to give you more faith has changed the mountain. Amen. Removed the mountain. So when I see these people talking about my God that way and then making up their own God, it makes me sad inside because that's what they have. They have their own reward. Amen? Amen? Gary, you understand. I know you understand. You come to the Bible study every other week and you're saying, Lord, it's got to be good. It's got to be less me and more Jesus. But then I got to be me because I have to bring it to him. Hallelujah. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. All you have to do is see the world. See how they talk about Christians, what they don't understand about Christians, how that door is open to every sinner. Now, I have to tell you this because this goes along with the service last week. Some churches, some denominations, guess what they do? They make their own laws on top of these laws. Amen? They do. And it happened this week. It made my heart sad. They say, well, God forgave you, but you're not allowed in this church because you've been divorced, or because you had children out of wedlock, or because you're a drug addict, or because you're a sinner. You're not allowed in this church because we can't accept you, because you're against the Word of God. And I start reading the Word of God, and we're going to read it today about that. About a repentant heart, a heart that repents. You know what repents means? Your heartfelt sorrow for what you've done, amen? And what God sees in somebody who has sorrow for what he's done, amen? I see our God doing that. I see people who should be bringing people to God, casting them away, amen? It's happening. I bet it's happened in a lot of your lives. It's happened in our life. They make up their own rules to go along with the rules of God. And why do they do that? The only reason I can think of, in my opinion, is to keep you in bondage, to keep you in line with them so that they can keep you focused, amen, on what they want to tell you. Because if they ever told you that your sins are forgiven because you love Jesus, then you wouldn't have to do 90 other things. You wouldn't have to live up to their expectations anymore. You just got to live up to God's expectations. Are you with me? Are you with me? Hallelujah. How many know you're all free? Say it with me. I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. How many have sinned in the past? How many? How many times has God forgiven you? Every time you've asked him for it. Amen? So what does that make you? Free. Righteous. Amen? So I don't know about you, but I would rather be righteous in God's eyes than be righteous in any man's eyes. Amen? So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this Bible. I thank you for these words. I thank you for those who wrote these words. I thank you for the lessons in these words. I thank you for the lessons that were so clear to me once I read them and understood them. I thank you that this word changes my life. I thank you that this word makes me stronger. I thank you that this word brings me closer to you. So when I'm out in the middle of the woods on a beautiful September afternoon and I look at the blue sky, I see you. And I see the color of the trees changing and I see you. Because of this book, I see you in everything. I see you in the clouds in the sky. I see you in the love of my friends when they look at me with kindness. I see you in their love to me, their goodness. I see you. I see you when I play my music because I know my music is a gift from you. I see you when I hear my wife sing because I know that voice is a gift from you. Because this world shows me more and more. You are the giver. You are the forgiver. And you are my teacher, my love, and everything I do, I want to be right with you. Because you are the one who blesses me. Not a building, not anything else. The blessings come from you. Forgiveness comes from you. So my trust more and more every day is with you. My life's not perfect. I don't expect it to be perfect. But with each trial and tribulation, I look closer to you. I reach up higher for you. Because you've taken me from so many places I didn't want to be. And you brought me here. And I know that you brought me here today on this Sunday in August. And you brought everybody else here to this Sunday. And you're not going to leave us here today. You're not leaving us in this building when we're done today. You're going to take us to the next August. And the August after that. And the August after that. Until the August comes that we're with you. Side by side, until we're holding your hand, until you call us home, we're going to have you with us each and every day, walking with us, talking with us, desiring us to love you more. That is the greatest gift we could give each other, giving them Jesus. Give each other the confidence. Give each other that faith. Lift each other up as a family. Stay united in Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this book. Lord, now I pray they take those promise books and they just open them up. And they just search those books for things that they need, for what they want, Lord. That's okay. That they open it and just search for you for their needs. And then when they find a scripture under a heading that they like, that they take their Bible. And they find that scripture in the Bible and they read that and say, hey, there it is. And then they tell themselves, hey, I'm reading the Bible. Hey, this is cool. Well, let me read a little before and then I'll read a little after that. See where it takes me. Oh, Lord, thank you. And then they'll find that the food was good. And they'll find that they want more of that meal every day. And then they see their lives change. That gives testimony to God. And then they tell their friends about God. And their family about God. And that gives glory to God. And their lives get changed with God. Thank you, Lord. I pray that I will grow closer to you. In Jesus' name. I don't expect everybody to agree with me about the things in life or things I like. I don't expect you to like the things I like, and I might not like a lot of things you like. But I'm telling you that you perish for lack of knowledge, because if people would take the time to stop and say maybe there's another side to something and look into the other side of something, they might realize that they've learned something that day. Amen? They still might not like what somebody does, but they may have a better understanding, amen, about nature and about love and about life. Are you with me? Praise God. Now listen to this. You tell me what it means. Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven. What does that mean? That means when your sin is forgiven, you're in a place of blessedness, and you're in a place of favor with God. Amen? That's what it means. Whose sin is covered. Hallelujah. And it said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Hallelujah. It says, I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Who are you confessing to? Who? Are you confessing to another man? You're confessing to who? You're going to learn that even better today. Praise God. Listen, it says, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgive the iniquity of my sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You forgive the iniquity of my sin. You know the place that you're in now. Amen. Are you with me? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Where's my little David? Thank you, Lord. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David. Not that David. David. Let me just tell you who God said David. A man after my own heart. Amen. Oh, if God would just call me that one time. Imagine that, Fred, if you just woke you up one morning and said, Fred, you're a man after my own heart. I mean, what kind of peace would that give you? Amen. What kind of strength would that give you? What kind of, you'd look out at the world and say, I'm ready to just go for it and take care of everything. Amen. A man after my own heart. You remember that. That's what God called who? Not that David. Well, he might tell that. I can't speak for that. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he did this thing and because he had no pity. Amen. Then Nathan said to David, a man after God's own heart, you are the man. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wives in your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You have taken his wife to be your wife and have killed him with the sword of the people from Ammon. Now therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. What did he do? Murder? Adultery? Stealing? He about covered the bases here, right? He coveted his neighbor's wife. He took her. Good thing it didn't happen in some places because he would be what? Kicked out. Get out. You're an adulterer. You don't belong here. Hallelujah. Man after God's own heart. Listen to what David said. I have sinned against the Lord. Who did he sin against? Hallelujah. I have sinned against the Lord. Adultery. Marriage, stealing somebody's wife, having that. Sin against the Lord. What could I ever do? Psalm 51. David. Have mercy upon me, O God. According to your love kindness. Not talking to man. Who's he talking to? According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. What is David doing? He's repenting. He's asking for forgiveness. From who? And he says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. He is saying, I did this. You didn't make me do this. I sinned I send it to you. You didn't have nothing to do with this. And he claimed it. Why did he claim it? It's because then nobody could say that God made him do it. Amen? Nobody said that God allowed him to do it. That nobody said that God said it was all right to do it. Amen? He said, no, I sinned against you. I claim this sin so that you will not be blamed for it. Hallelujah. And done this evil in your sight that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities, he prays. And then listen to what he asks. Restore me to the joy of your salvation. He's saying, cleanse me, Lord, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Your generous spirit. He knows who he's talking to, amen? He's talking to who? God. And he's saying, your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways. Hallelujah. And sinners shall be converted to you. Listen to what he's saying. He said, yeah, I'll work with other people. I'll tell them the wrong ways they did. At the second, now listen to these three lines. Listen to these three lines and tell me who's not accepted anywhere. Listen to these. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Amen. Hallelujah. There's other stories like that. I think one of the greatest stories in the Bible, Marcia, and the more I read it, I get something out of it, is the woman at the well. Y'all remember the story of the woman at the well? Sounded pretty simple. There was a woman, Samaritan woman. Nobody talked to Samaritan women. Jesus sat down and started talking to her. First of all, she was astonished that he even talked to her. Amen. Then he gave her the good news about God. And because she was a vessel willing to accept, she accepted it immediately. Amen. And not only did she get saved, but she went home and she did what? She told all her friends and family, and they came back to Jesus. And guess what? They got saved. Amen. And guess what she was? She was married how many times? Four. Four times. That means that she didn't get an annulment. Amen. Must not. She just decided, you know, they got divorced and she got married again, which was against the, amen, against the rules. She got married how many times? Four. And he says to her, he said, go tell your husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband right now. And he said, you speak truthfully. You speak because the man you're living with now is not your husband. Amen. Did he tell her to go and just leave? No. What did he do? He brought her where? To him. Amen. Did he condemn her? Did he anything? Did he call her a name? Did he throw stones at her? No. What did he do? He said, come to me. Drink the living water, not from this well, but drink from my water, and you will never thirst again. You will have eternal life. You will have peace, joy. Amen? What did he do? He almost forgave her right there. She didn't even ask for forgiveness yet. Amen? But she believed him. Amen? You hear what I'm saying? She believed. The more I read this story, Gary, it's like there's so much in that little story that's so good and exciting that I can read that, and it's like what I tell you in the Bible. Chuck, you're going to learn this. You read one page, and you go back on Tuesday and read that page, and you're going to say, boy, I didn't see that yesterday. Because this is called the living word, amen? Elaine, this is the living word. So it doesn't change, but God will show you something different as you read it. It's so exciting. I got to tell you, it's so exciting. Hallelujah. David let God down, not man, not man's laws. Man's laws almost are made to punish and hold down as if there's an additional penalty to be paid after you ask God for forgiveness. Amen? Okay, you've come and asked for forgiveness, but now you've got to pay this, and you have to do this, and you have to act like this. Amen? And I heard this week that, oh, we need to welcome back those people that we cast off before. We need to welcome back those that have been married three or four times. We need to welcome back their families, because according to some doctrines, those children of children by the second and third marriage are not blessed by God. Amen? Are you with me? I have to tell it. My little girl, our little daughter, was brought to a church to be christened. That's what you Catholic. And the priest, in no uncertain terms, told my mother-in-law, wasn't then my mother-in-law, and my bride, that that was a bastard child and to leave. There was no way that he could baptize our little daughter because she didn't come from marriage. And that's what he said. That's what he said. And that, how could that bring anybody to God? I don't know. And whether he's right or wrong or how he's saying, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying if you want to bring people to God, that's a great way not to, amen? And there's still people teaching that now. And I'm not picking on anything except people who are preaching other than what the Word says, amen? Are you with me? What the Word says. We must always accept sinners. Are you with me? Because if we don't accept sinners, who's coming in the door? Amen? And if we don't socialize with sinners, who are we going to socialize with? See, this is God's house, amen? This is where we come to get repentance. This is where we come to get forgiveness. This is where we come to lift up. If one of us falls, we all try to run over and lift him up and stand him up, amen? This church saved a man's life last year. Saved his life. He would not be here today if it wasn't for this church, Second Congregational, Derby, Connecticut, saved a man's life. Sometimes people don't want forgiveness. Are you with me? Sometimes people don't really want to accept God because they have their own God. They have their own thoughts. Some people need more than prayer. Amen? Sometimes love is a hard thing. I ask you, if you have two children and you love them both, and one of them goes off and starts selling drugs and taking drugs and stealing from stores and robbing cars, and you have the other son who's getting close to that age, and you tell your son, please don't do this. You need to stop taking the drugs. Let me help you. Let me take you to a rehab center. Let me pay for doctors. I'll pay for the lawyers. And you help him through that. And you help him through that. And you help him through that, knowing that you got this little son growing up right behind him, another brother. And you tell him, please stop. I will do anything for you. I will, and money doesn't matter. I want you healthy. Amen? Are you with me? And he continues and looks at you and says, I know you gave me a place to sleep. I know you fed me all your life. I know you put clothes on me all your life, but I don't know who you are. I don't need you in my life. I don't need anything you want to give to me, because all the things you gave to me, you had to do it anyway, so it doesn't matter. Amen? And then you look at that boy that you love. You're not going to stop loving him, amen? But then you look over here at your other son. He's got one chance. He's got one chance to make it. You have to make a call. You have to make a love call. You have to tell that son, depart. Go. I'm not going to stop praying for you. I'm not going to stop thinking about you. But for the life of my wife and myself and the life of my son, the other son I have, for his life, I have to tell you to go. Amen? And sometimes in the church world, that's what has to happen. The Bible says if somebody falls down, we pick them up. Somebody falls down, we pick them up. Amen? We keep picking them up. We keep standing them up and getting stronger. And then sometimes that's not enough. Amen? Then the Bible says two or three guys together. And it's guys. I'm sorry, ladies. But sometimes the women can talk to women. But at times it has to be the men of the church. And they get together. And they say, hey, look, come here. We love you. You're a family here. We you got to do it this way. You can't do that. Remember, I've told you so many times, we don't judge, but you judge yourself by what you say, what you do, where you go, and how you act. Amen? You don't have to be judged by anybody. You judge yourself. Sometimes there comes a time in the church, and it's in the book of Titus. You read that in Titus. When we've done that two times, three times, that the church as a whole, because you look around and this is our body, amen? This is the church. Chuck, you look how we're growing since we started. It's just so beautiful. But this body needs to be protected, amen, by all of us, amen? We need to protect one another, that there comes a time in a church, and many churches have had to do that, you say, go. We love you. We pray for you. Our heart is with you. But for the protection of the church, amen, protection of my brothers and my sisters and the children, we need you to go. Amen? That's called tough love, amen? That's called God's kind of love. Because when you refuse God, he never refuses to hear you when you come back, amen? But if you refuse God, the Bible says, he will not be mocked. Are you with me? He will not be mocked. Thank you. What purpose does the law serve? It was added of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. Hallelujah. Is the law then against the promise of God? Certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have been given life, truly righteousness would have been given by law. Now this sounds kind of confusing, amen? Let me take it here. This was the law, amen? The Old Testament? Let me read it. It was intended to reveal sin, not to secure righteousness, amen? This was given for us to know what sin is, amen? Because before this was given, man didn't understand sin, amen? But he gave us this. God gave this to Moses, gave us this so we can understand what sin was. But no matter what we did, we will never be righteous by any of this, amen? Because we couldn't be. The law is inferior to the promise. These laws are inferior to who? To Jesus. He's the promise, amen? Yet it's not contrary to what he teaches us. This law demanded obedience, demanded righteousness. But listen to me. This law demanded us to live right, but it was powerless to make us do it right. Amen? Powerless. Powerless. All these. Now Jesus said, if you did one of these, you did them all. Amen? You know, they number 1 from 10, and everybody seems to think number 1 is like, you know, the top 10. Well, number 1 must be. No. He says, if you do any of these, you've done them all. Amen? There's no sin greater to God. Amen? He sees it. He sees sin as sin. We pick and choose, but he doesn't. This law could not bring us to righteousness. These laws that were given for more reasons, but the one reason was to tell us this. You ready? That we needed a Savior. Amen? That law was to prepare us for the gospel. The gospel simply means good news. Anybody hears the word gospel, you don't know what it means? It simply means good news. The good news. That's what the New Testament, the Gospels, John, Paul, Mark, and Luke. The good news, amen? These laws were to prepare us for the gospel. Hallelujah. By making people conscious of their sin and their need of a Savior. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Is the law then against the promise of God? No, certainly not. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, if there was a law given that could give you salvation, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin. How many? Listen to this. Now you tell me, how you can ask, just tell me. The scripture has confined all under sin that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Simply believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor. That was our teacher. That's something that we looked at to teach us, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. Amen? This church is under who? Jesus. We're going to do what here? We're going to preach the word each week. Amen? I want you hungry for so much more in your life. I want you hungry today for something to happen in your life. I want you to tell God you need something in your life. I need you to be specific with him so that when he answers you by God, you know it was God answering you. And maybe not just a favor from somebody who decided to give you something. Maybe somebody gave you something because God instilled in the hand. That person needs a coat. You want you? Oh, I'm going to give him this coat. You see everything from God. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. And let me tell you why. For you are all, and I'm telling you in the church, I would get you so fired up if we pray that you would stand up right now and just praise and cheer God for this, because this is one line in this whole Bible. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Hallelujah. And I will say it one more time. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Give him praise and glory, church. That's the law. That's God. He removed everything else. If anybody else makes another law, that's on them, amen? God is good. Can I get an amen? God is good. Hallelujah.